We, last week, we closed, with this section of scripture that we're going to spend a little more time with today. If you remember, we zeroed in on that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, near the close, and in that prayer, it's really awesome because it just lays out God's heart, His heart for each one of us, and we, you know, spent some time looking at that. The eyes of our understanding, remember, that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. And the eyes of our heart being enlightened. And that's spirit stuff. You know, these things can happen, you know, in a number of ways. Many times it's just, it's God working in you, you know, as you're reading His Word. Sometimes it's in a teaching, or sometimes you just be with saints. And somebody will say something, or they share something or whatever, and it's just in your heart, it's like, oh, you know. It just, boom, it's an aha moment. Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. And that's what God wants. And it's that the eyes of your understanding, it's so much deeper than the knowing here. And those things that He wants us to know. One was the hope of His calling. And we're going to see that today a little bit. The hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Really, and that amounts to what we're worth to Him. Isn't that awesome? He wants us to know that deep in the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our heart, where those issues of life proceed from. And then it says, and then the riches of the glory of His power toward us who believe. It's amazing. And then the rest of that chapter went on to define that a little bit more. This morning what I want to do is I want to go back to, and I just simply read this section, but I want to spend a little time in Colossians, because what we're going to read here and the prayer here in the opening chapter of Colossians really echoes it echoes that prayer that we read in Ephesians. And it really kind of clarifies some things. It's pretty neat. So that's where I want to go this morning. So we're going to go to Colossians 1. And again, we're going to see the same heart and the same desire spoken of here in the book of Colossians. You know, as we read this stuff, again, these are, you know, familiar verses to many of us, but there's some deep truths here regarding God's heart for us, His desire. And if it's His heart and His desire, you know what that means? He's going to help us. Duh. Right? If He says, I want you to know, I want the eyes of your heart open, does He just leave that and then go have a cup of coffee? No. That's His heart. That's His desire. He's going to work toward that. See? He's going to work toward that. It's just, it's incredible stuff to realize and to think about. In Colossians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Anyway, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Most texts don't have that last part. It just simply should read, which are at Colossae, grace unto you and peace from God
our Father.
You know, it's kind of neat. I don't want to spend much time with this, but this church at Colossae, it wasn't a large church. It was a small church, small fellowship. It's not even mentioned in the book of Acts. Isn't that wild? Not even mentioned. The only time we read about Colossae is in Colossians, and a little bit in Philemon. That's it. So you've got this little fellowship, and you've got, these incredible truths being set, being, taught to these saints. Verse 3, we give thanks. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, or praying continually for you. Since we heard of your believing, your faith or believing in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints. This echoes what we read in Ephesians. And that believing in Christ Jesus, the act of believing in Christ Jesus, will issue in love for the saints. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ in the Gospels, it's in John, I forget exactly where it is, but, by this shall they know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. And the more we grow in our understanding of Christ and what he's done, and the more we grow in our reverence for him, the more we love the saints. Isn't that something? The flesh stuff, it gets less and less. And the Christ stuff gets more and more. And that's what God wants for us. So we can walk in that kind of freedom. And then it says, for the hope. Well, let me read this again. Since we heard of your believing in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope, the King James read, it's really because of the hope. It's because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. I love this verse. That hope that is laid up in heaven or in the heavenlies, that's what's real. That's the point. Romans 8 says we were saved unto what? Hope. That's what it says. We were saved to hope. These believers had grown to where they were walking, ordering their lives in light of that hope. There is, again, a tremendous freedom in the walk of a saint where that hope of his calling is really understood in the heart, where the eyes of that heart have been opened to that. The things that, cause fear in the world, not so much anymore. The fear of man, what he thinks, not so much anymore. Because you're walking in light of that real life. And it's a big deal. Because of that hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. And then it says in the King James, and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you. It's, I should read, and bringeth forth fruit, or is bearing fruit and growing. This is how it reads. Brings forth fruit and is growing, as it does also in you. And, or since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. These saints, and we're gonna see a little bit more regarding this and what God's heart is, but they were bearing fruit and growing as a result of, and this word know is that word epigenosis, which is a thorough, accurate knowledge that really has an impact on the knower. They knew the grace of God in truth. and the result of that, it really had an effect on them. And so they were bearing fruit. They were bearing fruit. We'll see in a little bit, we'll read a short record where Jesus Christ taught regarding bearing fruit and what glory that brings to the Father. That's what he wants. That's a pretty good deal. Verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Epaphras apparently was from Colossae. And where he heard the gospel, I don't know. But he is the one that shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with these saints at Colossae. Pretty neat, huh? And he was one of them. Verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And this love in the Spirit, this is that love that the Word talks about. It's the kind of love that we can have because of Spirit. Do you understand that? It's that kind of love. God has equipped us to do this stuff. He's equipped us to walk in grace and by His grace. He's equipped us to love like He says to love, because we've got His life in us. This kind of love isn't, you know, it's not some guy saying, well, I'm just going to be more loving, by golly. I mean, there is a decision involved, but it's because of that Spirit of God that enables you to, I don't know, love your enemies. Flesh doesn't take too kindly to that. Right? But it's seeing it bigger. It's seeing it bigger. And that's the growing that can happen, you know, where we get to that place, that kind of freedom. And in verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So now we're going to read this prayer, you know, which again, it lays out God's heart. It lays out God's will for these saints, for all saints. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, that sounds similar to what we read in Ephesians, doesn't it, last week? Absolutely. This filled is, it's a word that means to be filled to capacity. Something to keep in mind is that that capacity changes. It increases as we grow. Isn't that neat? God will continue to teach and continue to work and open his word as we grow and we're able to take in more. We're able to mature. We're able to walk more and more in love. Doesn't happen all overnight. But boy, God's faithful. And he's laying out this desire. You know, and I'll tell you something. When it comes to what we're reading here, you know, I don't spend my time worrying about growing. I don't spend my time worrying about bearing fruit. That's where the God being faithful part comes in. What I spend my time doing is growing in my knowledge of his will and learning more about God, seeking his face. The rest of that stuff takes care of itself because God's faithful, right? God's word is faithful. It's pretty neat. You know, you have psalms, many psalms where, you know, where there were traps or snares laid for men. And in the psalm, you read, they didn't look. They weren't seeking the snare. They weren't looking for the trap. They were looking to God. And then God would deal with that stuff. He would reveal it as they needed. Isn't that something? That's our faithful God. See, we keep our eyes on him. So, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, that you might be filled, pray for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And that word knowledge is that same word, that full knowledge, that accurate knowledge that has an impact on the knower. His will is, it's a word that, it means his will or his desire, his purposes, his pleasure, his choice. That you're filled to capacity with the accurate knowledge of his will, of his will. And this is great. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, in the King James, that's how it reads, but a more accurate reading is in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, spiritual wisdom and understanding. Isn't that something? In Ephesians, we read the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Here we're reading spiritual wisdom and what? And understanding. Now that word understanding, and I think most of you know this, it's the Greek word sunesis. And it's used in the Odyssey by Homer of two rivers coming together, or two rivers flowing together. Its meaning is where the understanding comes together. You know, I define it as aha. Right? In the English, it's aha. I get it. You know? It clicks. That's spiritual understanding. See, these are things that aren't going to be understood by the senses. I can read God's word, and I can read about God's love. I can read that. And I can, you know, God is love. God is love. But when the eyes of your heart are open to that, it's like it goes from God is love to God is love. You know, I get it. It's something that's in the heart. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. I wish I could teach better. But I know what I mean. But it's the stuff that takes place in your understanding, in your heart, and it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Just awesome stuff. And that spiritual wisdom, that spiritual understanding, it helps to understand, or it's right in line with, that spirit of wisdom and revelation. It is a revealing, a coming together. See? An unveiling. I got it. You know, it's not behind a veil anymore. You know, it's like, and then bam, you get it. Okay, let's keep reading. So, spiritual understanding, and then verse 10. That. Now, here's what God desires. Here's sort of the point of it. And what's really neat here is, you know, we have a hope. We have this thing set. But God, in His grace, has enabled us to walk and bear fruit by way of that life that He's put in us right now. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to grow in right now. And those things will pay off for all of eternity. That you might walk worthy. And we heard that in manifestation today. And that's that word. It means to be in balance. It's a word, axios, I think it is. And it means to be in balance with, in proportion with. That's what it means. It is not to be worthy, for you have been made worthy in Christ. That's done. There is nothing you can do to undo that. Your worthiness is in Him. Period. That's the end of it. What we're talking about here is walking in what you have received in Christ. And God's desire to see and to help His children to do that. So that they bear fruit, bringing glory to the Father. Isn't that something? So, it's that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that something? I had mentioned earlier. Well, you know what? Let's keep your finger. We're gonna come back here. I just want to read this. You know, and that growing in knowledge. Turn to John chapter 15. That growing in knowledge. Is that word, that accurate, that epigenosis, it's that, you know, that accurate and thorough knowledge that has that impact on the knower. Isn't that something? That we grow in that knowledge, in that knowledge of God, and that knowledge of His will for each one of us. But I wanted to read this in John 15. We're going to start in verse 4. But it says, "Abide in me, and I in you." So that's kind of a two-way thing, isn't it? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You're the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch
and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you shall be my what?
My disciples. Isn't that something? You know, it's that abiding in Christ. And, you know, down the road, we're going to spend a little time with that. Let's go back to Colossians. And how we can facilitate, just in our own lives, abiding in Him. You know, keeping our eyes on God. Because the world offers endless distractions. Endless distractions. You know, and honestly, sometimes the difficulties we have in this are of our own making. They really are. For me, you know, it's of my own making. And you know, and I gotta make some decisions sometimes. Yep. So Colossians chapter 1. So it's that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in that knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Boy, that strengthened with all might is that empowered with power. Certainly echoes what we read in Ephesians. That was one of the things that he wanted the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened to, was the greatness of his power toward us who what? Believe. That was demonstrating in the raising of Jesus Christ. It doesn't stop there, though. It was the raising him. Doesn't stop there, though. Setting him above every, you know, prince, power, principality, every name that's named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. That power. That's how it was defined in Ephesians. You know, we're not going to turn there now, but wonderful section of the word is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it's regarding Paul when he came to Corinth and initially. But his preaching was not in man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now sometimes we read those words and we think in terms of, you know, he did miracles, he did this, and some of that may have gone on, I don't know. But I know his preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Do you understand? Got to hearts. See? It was some powerful stuff. Because he was walking with God. And then it goes on to talk about that Spirit of God. That we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us. The heart hasn't even... You got no idea the stuff God's in store for those that love him. You know, we just get little glimpses. Gather together. Oh, yeah, see Jesus Christ. That's cool. You know, just little things. City drops out from heaven. Okay. You know, we just get to see little openings. But the things that God has in store for us, it's off the charts. But the Apostle Paul walked with that kind of power because it came from here. So he didn't have to promote himself. He spoke God's word, and God was behind that. You know, he was behind it. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all, and I love this, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You know, when you think of power, you don't often associate power with long suffering, thankfulness, with joy. Right? That's not the world's concept of power. But that's it. And that joyfulness is, it's really neat. It's a neat way to understand it is it's that calm delight in the face of a storm where you just got this inner thing going on. It's not that you're not aware. You're aware. But you got this inner thing going on. See? Because of the Father. Because of the Spirit of God. Because you know His faithfulness. Isn't that awesome? See? And that's what God desires for each one of us. Then giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, has made us adequate, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And this giving thanks, this is the biggest of deals. That heart of thankfulness, it is one of the very important ways in which we establish an environment for ourselves or a mindset for ourselves to be receptive to God. That mindset of not being thankful or of being unthankful, it's a really, really bad road. It does not end well. And it's no fun on the way either. It really isn't. And we have so much to be thankful for. You know, but there is a thing that takes place, a spiritual wisdom and understanding regarding these things, you know, that God desires for our lives. Where really, no matter what, you're thankful. You're thankful. You know, a great example was the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. We read it a few weeks ago when he was in prison. He was so thankful. And even at the end, my God has delivered me and will deliver me. That was his heart. He had that truth. He understood it. And nothing was going to shake it. Nothing was going to shake it. So giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, and I think here's where we'll close. Who hath delivered us, boy, we've read this verse a lot lately, huh? Who hath delivered us from the authority or the power, the authority of darkness, and hath translated us, transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know, I can read, I've been transferred from, or I've been delivered from the exercised authority of darkness all day long. But there's a knowing that can happen, that God desires, where you truly walk in light of this. Where you walk that deliverance from the exercised authority of darkness. It doesn't mean that bad things will never happen. What it does mean is that you will do that thing with the Father, with the God who is faithful. Isn't that something? And we grow in that. You know, it talks about this in Romans. I could go on for hours, but it just, I promise I won't, okay? But it talks about it in Romans. You know, in Romans 5, you know, you go through things. There are tribulations, but tribulation produces what? Patience. Patience proves that it's the word experience, but it's a proving or a putting to the test of the Father, of who He is, of who you are in Christ. And then that produces hope, you know. And all those things come into play as we walk and as we continue to look to God. And, and knowing what God's desire is for us. He wants us to have this spiritual understanding, this spiritual wisdom regarding Him, who He is, and what He's made us, and what a big deal we are to Him. So, amen.
Amen.
Amen.